The 2020 Suncorp Super Netball season is finally here, and we are excited at the Centre Pass podcast. We are back to bring you a season preview, and we are ready to go for 2020. Welcome to the Centre Pass podcast. My name is Jared Gardner, and I'm joined as always by Taylor Mulkey and Sophie Taylor. And we are excited to say that the 2020 Suncorp Super Netball season is finally ready to commence. It's been a long wait, but Sophie, ready to go and an exciting season up ahead.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I've been counting down the days, and I know a lot of people are a little bit up in arms about whether they want to watch it or not. I'm like, hell yeah, bring on the netball. I'm starved of SSN. Can't wait for it to be back. So I'm so excited for this year.
Yeah, definitely. And Taylor, obviously there's been a lot of news come out. We've finally got a fixture, but as we've seen, the season will be based in Queensland. So it's going to be a different season to what we normally expect, but we still expect the level of netball to be as high as ever.
Yeah, and I think this year it kind of brings a whole nother element to SSN. We've already seen how amazing each player is and how incredible the teams have gotten and the development over the years. So the fact that we kind of have taken, or SSN has taken all of these issues in its stride, clearly trying to figure out a way that we can have a season given the current circumstances, especially with Victoria still in lockdown with all of these COVID-19 pandemic. So yeah, it's a really exciting season for me because it's a season we've never seen before. We don't know what to expect. We don't know how players are going to react. So bring on the season, I say.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a season we hope to never see one like again, because we just want everything to go back to normal as quick as possible. But we will, in this episode, we will go team by team through the 2020 lineups and how and the roster changes and how we think that's going to affect the teams on court. And we will have some predictions for you later on in the episode. First of all, we're going to go in reverse order of the 2019 Super Netball ladder. So we're going to start off with the Queensland Firebirds, and a really disappointing season in 2019, only the one win. We're able to get two draws, but the only real shining light for the Firebirds last season was Gretel Tippett, or Gretel Blader, and obviously now she is missing the 2020 season due to her pregnancy. So it might be another tough season for the Firebirds, but they brought in some good young players. What do you guys think of this team for 2020?
Yeah, this is going to be a really interesting season for me because I think for the Firebirds, like you touched on there, Jared, Gretel Buedo was clearly that rock, both especially in attack. She was the one that was creating all of that play and was the real star power. Without her, they're really going to struggle to generate that same intensity in the attacking third. And also through the midcourt, because she applied so much pressure and she was that relief valve, that, you know, constantly there, just, okay, quick, pass it to her. You know she'll be clever with ball in hand. But I think now your attention kind of lies in the defensive unit and whether or not Hinchliffe and Jenner are ready to take that next step up. We definitely saw glimpses of them last season. And while they were a bit untidy at times and could be a bit costly when it came to penalties, they definitely have the skill set. And I think another season at this level, you'll be able to see them really blossom. So I think overall, it's going to be a really challenging season for the Firebirds. And clearly, we don't know who Boetta's replacement is. And it's less than, you know, how many days till the season starts, as we all wait with bated breath. But I think for me, I'm excited about their defense.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued about this season because while Gretel Buedo was one of the strongest goal attacks in the entire competition last season, she also not just held up the shooting circle, but she was a force to be reckoned with at the centre pass too. She was constantly at that transverse line, taking that centre pass and really being part of that first and second phase of the ball going down the court. And obviously that means that this season, whoever is in goal attack and whoever is in wing attack are really, really going to have to take charge. I mean, you look at Mahalia Cassidy did her ACL early last season. There's so far not been any confirmation whether she will take the court to start this season. So that's a bit of a question mark. And then you've got Gabby Simpson and Gemma Maimai through the midcourt too. Obviously, Simpson's a wing defence. Maimai, I expect we'd probably see in centre, especially at the beginning of the season, to kind of forge that connection between the attack and defence. But then there's two players who could really slip into that wing attack position, Dunkley and Macy Gardner. Again, two very inexperienced players and that are going to be feeding into a circle that has been such a strong fixture for so long and is now missing one of their core group. So I think it'll not just be down to whether they can replicate their attack in the circle, but it's also whether they can carry the ball down the court and transition from defence to attack that is going to be the real key for the Firebirds.
Especially considering that Caitlin Nevins retired at the end of last year. She was kind of that stability through the centre court. You know, she could just deliver time and time again. Clearly her connections with both Aiken and Buerta were quite strong, having been a part of the Firebirds for quite a long time. So I do think you point out a very interesting facet there, Soph, in terms of that the midcourt will now have to carry more of Buerta's load because she's not there, so they need to find some other avenue into goal. And I think for me, Maimai is definitely up to the task. We saw last year what an exciting prospect she was, especially in that wing attack position where she could really hone in her craft of feeding into Aiken and Buerta. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. What do you reckon, Jared?
I think with this team, it's no doubt that they've got the talent. You look at their 10 fully contracted players and there's no doubt that this is a talented group of great netballers, but just the cohesion just isn't there yet. Obviously, you're bringing in players like Rudy Ellis, Lara Dunkley, Inna-Marie Venter, all coming from Melbourne. I think all great players. Inna-Marie Venter, obviously an international. Dunkley and Ellis are up-and-coming players. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for them to gel as an entire unit, but I think when they get rolling and when they're on song, this is a team that can really challenge those top teams in the competition. And I think they definitely are going to improve on their one win from 2019.
Yeah.
We can only hope.
Yeah, definitely. I think my question as well will be, obviously, Hinchliffe and Jenna are both typically goal defences by trade, and one of them had to step back into goalkeeper last season. They kind of rotated that through. Having Rudy Ellis means that they do have a goalkeeper fixture there, but she has no prior experience really on court, and that is going to be a huge hole if they cannot, basically, if they don't give Ellis the time earlier on in the season to really make a claim on that goalkeeper position, the Firebirds are back in the exact same position they were last season with no goalkeeper. So I think if we don't see Ellis play early in the season, I don't see the Firebirds really gelling that defensive unit on the SSN stage anytime soon.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be one to watch for the Firebirds, and I think we all hope that they do get back to the success that we know from this franchise. So hopefully a good 2020 for them. We will move on to the Adelaide Thunderbirds now, and obviously another disappointing season, but they did get 3 wins and 2 draws in 2019, so some good results. Obviously the big loss for them this season is Maria Folau. Obviously, she retired from all formats of netball at the end of last year, but it was good to see her in the National League. Lenise Pogita is the replacement for her, and I think obviously doesn't bring the star power that Maria Folau does, but a very consistent shooter and I think a good get for the Thunderbirds. I just still do have my doubts on whether they can score enough. I think their defensive end is really talented with Shamara Sterling, Shimon and Layla Gusketh, but I think just that transition down court and able to get those goals is just going to be a struggle for the Thunderbirds this year.
Yeah, you look at Pogita and we know that she's a stellar player. She had a great season with the Firebirds once she jumped on court last season. She's been a force to be reckoned with South Africa for a number of years now. But you look at the goalers backing her up. Sasha Glasgow is unlikely to take the court, although she's still part of the squad. So I wouldn't be too surprised if she did eventually take the court, maybe in minutes, a couple of minutes towards the end of the season. But you look at Charlie Hodges and Sam Gooden, who are their other two signings in goal attack. I mean, both have had patches where they've been able to take the court. Hodges was the main goal attack back in 2018 for the Thunderbirds, but neither of them have played SSN level in the last year, which really does put a bit of a spanner in the works for that attacking unit. Obviously, you've got someone super experienced like Chelsea Pittman out in front in wing attack, but I don't think that will be the issue. I think the issue will be not only getting the ball to Potgieter, but also making sure that those goal attacks have the impact that they need to have.
I think we shouldn't underestimate the power of Potgieter, though, because when she was with the Southern Steel last year, she was in the ANZ Premiership. I'm 99% sure she was with them. She was a key cog for them, and she was a main reason why they did so well to get to the finals. So I definitely think that she has the star power to do that, but she just needs, like you said, she needs the assistance from a goal attack. And while it's not conventional, we have seen Chelsea Pittman at stages go into that goal attack position. And now I'm not saying that this will happen, but from a movement perspective, if they're not generating that ball movement, that could definitely be a possibility. But I think for the Thunderbirds, it's their defensive unit that is where games will be won, because we know that Shamira Sterling can quite literally change the course of a game, because her long arms, like, no one can compete with them. They're like go-go gadget arms. They just, bam, quickly grab an intercept, deflection, whatever it be. And I think, is Vandermeer playing this year as well? Yep. She's signed with them as well. So the fact that they have her, Shimon, Guskith, there's so many options down back that they have one of the strongest lineups defensively. And if they can all cohesively work together as a unit, I think that they're in for a good season.
Yeah, especially when you take into consideration that Vandermeer wasn't there at the beginning of last season. Beth Cobden was. She's not on the list this season. She was originally meant to be playing as a training partner in the ANL, and she's been removed from that list from memory. So that's going to be something really interesting, having Vandermeer there from the beginning, not having to forge those connections because they're already solid from last season. I think their midcourt and defensive unit isn't the part to question. I think it's who will be able to take charge in goal attack and really make sure they're putting those goals on the board.
Yeah, so there's still a few questions for the Thunderbirds in 2020, but they will look to improve once again. Next up, we will talk about the West Coast Fever and a fairly disappointing 2019 season for them. Two wins, three draws on the season. And obviously, they did have their injury struggles. Their captain, Courtney Bruce, was out for a fair chunk of the season. I think it was a wrist injury or an arm injury. So it was disappointing to not have her. And they've kept a pretty stable roster from 2019. So we will see much of the same from the Fever. And we know what their game plan is, and we know that they're just going to look to get the ball to Fowler as much as possible. Is that probably going to work against them? Have teams really figured the Fever out? Is it really going to be a struggle for the Fever again this season? What do you guys think?
And that's, you kind of hit the nail on the head, Jared, because for me, that's where the issue lies. The fact that they haven't had any real turnover in players. Now, I'm not saying that each team should be going through players and yada, 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 but they haven't actually changed anything. So they kind of need to change. If they're not going to change personnel, they need to change game plan. And I don't know whether that's going to happen either, because how would you change your game plan when you have such a prominent shooter at the post? What you need is the other people around them to adopt a different approach to the circle. Now, that's a hard thing to kind of stop when clearly if you've got Fowler holding there, you're going to go straight to her. But if she's not on and you're looking at maybe Alice Teague-Neild or Kalia Stanton and they're not converting the shots, it goes back to the same thing that happened last year where teams can quickly learn, okay, we shut down the goal attack, then the pressure relies too much on Fowler. And that's where everything starts to break down. So for me, it's going to be a case of same situation type of thing where I don't really see how the Fever can rectify the issues unless Alice Teague-Neild or Kalia Stanton really change their game plan completely.
Yeah, I kind of think if there's any team that is going to almost need the two goal super shot, it's the Fever. You look at Stanton and Neild, they don't necessarily get the ball very close to the post, mainly because they know that Fowler is able to hold under there, but also because usually the defense is so on top of them, limiting them from getting into the game, that they actually can't physically get there. So, I mean, the Fever already tried out the two goal super shot in the practice match a few weeks back, so they've already kind of had a taste of that, which could be really interesting. I'm thinking that given both Teague, Neild and Stanton are a little bit more comfortable going on the long bomb, I think if it comes down to it, I think the Fever is the team that will need the two goals at a time. Does that make sense? I just feel like they're the team that's going to really benefit off it, because if there's those players that are not often putting up loads of shots and not often putting up a heap of volume and accuracy, they're going to be the ones that benefit when they get two goals for one, when they take that shot.
But my question on that though is, do they have the accuracy to do that? Because we've seen that both of them really struggle with accuracy, especially if they're not in the rhythm of the game early. And so if you're not in that rhythm and you're not having that confidence to go to post, you're definitely not going to go to post from range and look for a 2-point shot. You're going to tend to look to go the goaler in Jahneel Fowler underneath the ring and go, okay, here you go. Relieve the pressure from yourself and put it onto someone else. So for me, it's like that constant circle of confidence and kind of shaking up the game plan in attack if the Fever are really going to push teams this season.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be, it feels like it's just going to be much of the same from the Fever, but I think we will be on the lookout to see how they do utilize that super shot and if that does really help their game plan for 2020. Moving on now, and next up is the Giants, and they unfortunately just missed out on finals in 2019. They won seven games and drew one for the season, but just wasn't enough to get them into finals. This team, obviously, I think the major loss is obviously Kim Green, who retired after last season. So that's a big hole to fill there, but much of the same otherwise. And I think they're a team that are really well placed. They've got a good mix of players across the entire court, and I think they can really do some damage this year.
Yeah, I think the Giants are really going to be a surprise packet this year. I think you look at, obviously, it's probably going to be Kira Austin who takes on that wing attack position. My real question is, with the rolling subs and the two goal super shot in the last 5 minutes, where they rotate Austin on for the last 5 minutes and have her on as a goal attack for those patches, in which case, who goes into wing attack? That's really my only question with the Giants. Otherwise, I think they had a really solid year last season. They worked their way through the season, giving Kim Green more and more time off the court to kind of almost ready themselves for the chance that Green was retiring, and obviously that did come to light. So I think the Giants could be a really good surprise packet. We know that both Bassett and Harten are forces to be reckoned with under the post. We know that Harten's a fantastic long bomb shooter. So then tying in Kira Austin as an easy rotation there with Harten, especially in those last 5 minutes, I think that's going to be really, really exciting.
I think sometimes we seem to forget also that last year was the first season that Bassett and Harten played together. And when you are both so used to playing a certain position, for example, Harten typically playing that goal shooter role, and although in the season before that she rotated in and out of goal a shooter, goal attack with Susan Pettit, her prominent role was goal shooter. Last year she had to completely change that game plan and had to become a goal attack. Now, clearly, a season under their belt, pre-season, and now heading into this coming year, it's going to be really interesting to see the way that Bassett and Harten interact in the circle. And I imagine that their movement is going to have increased tenfold. And then you also look through the midcourt. JLP moved from wing defense into center, which is a huge change. And then Amy Parmenter came into the side as well. So I think the Giants would definitely, for me, I think they could push into that top four easily because they have the caliber and strength of players that can really take their game to the next level. And if they do that this season, then good luck to the rest of the team.
Yeah, I think they're definitely one of the teams to watch, and I think we'll get into predictions later. I rate them pretty highly going into 2020. I think obviously with that super shot, I think Joe Harton is one of the major beneficiaries across the entire competition, because we've seen it time again. She's been a great long bomb shooter. She's done it well in the Fast Five tournaments over the years. So I think there's a lot to like about the Giants in 2020, and I think they're going to be a real force. Moving on now, and coming in fourth in 2019 were the Magpies, and they just scraped into finals. I think it was in the last round they defeated the Vixens and got their place into finals in 2020. So it was an exciting year. They got to finals, but they've obviously had a lot of turnover in the off season, and are missing a lot of really important players from their 2019 campaign. Just to name a few, obviously Nat Medhurst, April Branley, and Ash Brazel, who went down with a knee injury. So
don't forget Kimmy Rav.
Also Kimmy Rav as well. So Kim Ravalian also. So three little Magpie babies, and obviously, unfortunately, Ash Brazel with a knee injury. So a lot of change in the Magpies, and a lot of young players being brought in to replace those stars. What do you guys think about the Magpies in 2020?
It kind of pains me to see I don't think that this season the Magpies will play finals. Just considering the number of key players that are clearly unavailable and won't be taking the court this season. However, I am really excited to see the development of some of the younger players. Clearly, we've got Molly Jovic coming into the side for the Pies, and I think she'll be an exciting prospect through that midcourt. I think for me, the main thing, though, is Matilda Garrett. This is her time to shine. Clearly, April Branley held down that goal defence position really well last year. And we know that Jodie Anne Ward is clearly an excitement machine and has that international experience. But I think this season is where Matilda Garrett really needs to stand up and put her hand up and say, you know what, I'm here to play. This is my position. This is what I can bring to the table. Because otherwise, she's just going to fall behind the rest of the pack. And I think she definitely has the potential to be a star of the future, but she just needs to get court time, and she really needs to showcase her talent if she really wants to prove herself on the SSN stage. And like I said, further down the track, if she wants to, you know, develop into a potential Diamonds player, this is definitely her building blocks.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Garrett almost has to do what Kara Konen did last year and come out firing out of the blocks and just be that force to be reckoned with and make Rob Wright go, oh, I need to put her on court. And I think that's something that she's almost lacked in the last few seasons, maybe because she knew that she wasn't going to get that starting position, whereas now she actually has the opportunity to fight for it with Jodie Anne Ward. Neither of them have that upper hand. And if anything, Garrett has more of an opportunity based on the fact that she's been training with this team for years. So I think this is really her season to shine. But at the same time, the Magpies, I think they lost key fixtures from all three thirds, and I think that's really going to hurt them. But then you also think about Maddie and Kelsey Brown are both coming back this season. We still haven't been... It hasn't been confirmed whether either of them are starting the season this weekend, and even who it could be, because we're kind of getting mixed signals from the team about whether it will be Maddie or Kelsey.
I think it's more likely to be Maddie, considering time frame of ACLs, because Maddie did her ACL, Feb or something last year?
Yeah.
Because it was in that pre-season Teen Girls Cup.
Yeah,
but I don't think she had surgery straight away, but we're still kind of in the dark about it.
Yeah, but interestingly, a few weeks or so back, I'm fairly certain that Kelsey had been confirmed to start the season. So that's where I'm kind of a little bit unsure. Mm. Regardless, having a Brown sister back in wing attack helps immensely. I mean, obviously we know that Maddie has experience in centre too, which could also be a huge bonus if both of them are back, because it means one's in centre, one's in wing attack. It means you don't have to worry about those younger connections. Obviously, we do want to see those young players take the court. And with the new rules, or the adapted rules coming in On Tuesday, we know that there's potential for those players to take the court a little bit more. But having those excitement machines back, I think, will help a lot for the Magpies.
Yeah, Sophie, it's definitely going to be a plus for the Magpies to have the Brown Sisters back in action for 2020. Just before we finish off our wrap of the Magpies for the 2020 season, Taylor and Sophie, you were lucky enough to have a chat with Molly Jovic earlier in the week. So let's have a listen to that now.
All right, so pretty much kickstart us off with what it's like being in Hub Life up in Queensland.
I think that now we're here, like, it's really good. So we obviously, I don't know how much everyone is aware, but we were supposed to leave the Wednesday of the previous week, and I think the SSM were in negotiations with the New South Wales government to, like, try and get exemptions into New South Wales. And then obviously New South Wales is not going so great either. So it got to Tuesday afternoon and we got told, well, you're not going Wednesday morning. You might go in the next 24 hours. And then I think they started to talk to the Queensland government and work those kind of exemptions. And so basically we didn't leave Thursday. So we were packed from like Tuesday till literally the day we left on Monday morning, like ready to go. So it was very up and down. But now that we're here, like, everyone's just glad that there's some certainty and we're actually here, because there was a bit of doubt that, is this going ahead? Like, because it would keep changing. But yeah, it's been good now. We've got a good routine and we've got our own rooms and beds, own bedrooms and bathrooms. So it's been pretty smooth since we've been here.
Wow. Pretty lucky then to have your own bedrooms and bathrooms and all of that.
I know. We were all worried about that one because obviously, so we have like joint rooms. So I've got my own bedroom. I'm not sure if you can see. Got my own bed, got my own bathroom, but then I have a door into one of the other girls' rooms and she's got her, and we also have our own kitchens.
Oh.
So it's good because obviously we weren't allowed to interact with anyone. So at least we had, if we wanted to, we could go next door to our one person and have a bit of a socialise, 5 minutes or whatever. But yeah, it's good. It's a great setup, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of kind of glad you're not sharing those kind of facilities, looking at actually sharing facilities in Queensland with the other teams, like the Firebirds, I think you're training with the Firebirds and the Vixens, obviously not at the same time, but what's it kind of like using the same facilities and the same, I guess, courts, building, et cetera?
Well, the Firebirds have a great setup, so we're just happy to be able to use it, I guess. Haven't run into any of the teams. I think this morning we were in the gym and the Vixens were on court and then there was a crossover, but I don't think we actually saw each other. So it's not really an issue. Like, obviously we have to do our whole deep cleans and sanitize because we're still in the quarantine technically period. But yeah, it's been fine. So we actually got kicked out of, not kicked out, we had to leave the Holden Centre where we normally train back in Melbourne because the footballers have like such high regulations at the moment and we'd have to literally follow everything that they do if we were to stay there. So we've already moved home once. I think like the Collingwood girls, we've all been used to just, this is where we are and let's just get on with it kind of thing.
I was literally about to touch on the fact that it would be very difficult because the Holden Centre has quite a lot of equipment and things like that. So adjusting to new facilities would be tricky, especially if it's not something you're used to or it's a different environment and whatever the, well, Queensland, they recently redid all of their surfaces and things like that. So at least that's a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is a bit different to what we're used to because we obviously have the ice baths at the Holden Centre and we're used to getting massages, and that whole kind of process had to stop anyway with COVID because we couldn't get in the water and we couldn't have those massages. So we were already used to it. Like, recovery has been different now. So coming here, it's actually like, it's fine. We're used to it.
Well, at least you've got the sunshine up there as well. That's definitely a bonus.
Exactly. I think when the girls heard that New South Wales was going to be a bit difficult and that Queensland might be a bit, might be the next option, everyone was stoked. Like a little bit of changes in our suitcases, remove the beanies and pack the bikinis. So I think everyone was excited that we would actually get some heat in winter.
I think it's fair to say that majority of us stuck here in Victoria are very jealous of the fact that you're getting to do that, but they're not so jealous of the fact that you have to quarantine. So I suppose it evens out to a certain extent.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we all have family and stuff back home as well that we're worried about because obviously the situation, but I have to say that training at MSAC has been very cold. So we're all stoked to be up here now.
I could imagine. And now just moving on to, well, clearly the fixture's been released. Finally, everyone's pretty excited about that. How do you kind of approach that? Well, clearly we've got some midweek games as well. How do you, as a team and individually, approach that?
Yeah, I think as a team it's been, I guess, because we've only found out the fixture this morning. So it's really up to the coaches to work out when we're going to train and what the process will be backing up. Because I think we have a couple of Sunday games and then, or a Saturday game and then a Tuesday game, or a Sunday game and then a Tuesday game. But like the reality is that the majority of teams are going to have similar situations. And I guess it's whoever takes it on board the best and just rolls with it probably will, you know, be the most successful with that situation. And I guess personally, it's just getting your body right, playing your role so that you are ready to go when, I guess, you do have to back up games or, you know, something different. So there's been a lot of uncertainty in the last 6 months. So I think everyone's just rolling with it, you know, lots of different kind of things are being thrown at us. And it's just whoever just takes it on the best will probably be the most successful.
And did you have any, I guess, indication that there would be midweek games or anything like that? Is that something that you have been potentially almost training to get ready for on, in the case that it did happen?
Yeah, I guess there was talk about it because going into the hub situation, they kind of needed to condense the time that people were away from families as well. But we've had a really strong, well, when we got put into the first lockdown and had to go and train by ourselves for a while, like I think it was 3 months. I don't know. The time's just gotten away from me. But yeah, we just had like a really solid, another block of like conditioning to get our bodies ready. And I think that that's actually benefited our team a lot now that like Maddie will be ready to go round one. Kelsey's pushing for round one. Like everyone's come back looking really good. So I feel comfortable that the team will be able to back up those games.
And you just touched on Maddie and Kelsey as well. What's it like being surrounded by the two of them?
Yeah, it's, well, they're very fast paced and intelligent girls and it's a lot to take on. I think when I first walked into the Holden Centre last year, it was those two and Braz, and it's a lot to take in. They're all so knowledgeable and so experienced and just excellent players, and it's just such an opportunity for me to sit back and even just watch them do their thing. And now training with them as well has just been like a complete another level to what I'm used to, but it's been amazing.
Obviously you were originally elevated, I think, for Cal's. And then when Braz did her ACL, that was when you kind of potentially covering for Braz too. Kind of what's that like being elevated in the first place and then knowing you're able to stick around?
Yeah, look, I was stoked when I got a phone call from Jane last year about the potential opportunity to step in as a temporary replacement for Kelsey. I probably, because I'm 24 and I've been through the Victorian pathway, played for Fury, then had a little bit of a break and just filled in a couple of games for Tassie Magpies last year. I was kind of at the point that I was like, I'm just playing netball because I enjoy it and I'm playing BNL. And then I got the phone call from Jane and it was kind of just a bit of a shock, but obviously an amazing shock. And like, I was just happy to be in the environment and just train with the girls. Yeah. Even if Kelsey was back by round one, I was just excited that I got that opportunity. And then obviously when Braz went down, that was just like awful for everyone. And so to say that I'm happy that I've got the permanent replacement now, well, I am, but also I'm hurting for Braz because she's just an amazing player and also an excellent person and a big part of our group. So it's been a kind of like not ideal way to get this step up in the team, but obviously I'm going to take it on because this is probably how it happens most circumstances for girls like me to get their opportunity.
So you're talking about clearly there's a lot of, you've come up through the Victorian pathways. What's that been like? It's a very different process. Or what's the levels between, for example, VNL, ANL, and then hopefully stepping up to SSN as well?
So I'd say that VNL in Victoria is very strong, and playing Championship VNL and playing ANL is very competitive, and I obviously haven't played SSN, so this is the big test for me. But I think having the Victorian and the state teams and the ANL and the VNL, the pathway that Neville Vic has set up has kind of prepared you as best as it can for this opportunity. But yeah, I'm a bit, my situation's a bit different to other people's.
Yeah, I guess, like, I mean, kind of going back to SSN now, looking at the fixturing, obviously Magpies take on the Vixens this Sunday, I'm pretty sure. How do you kind of prepare for it, especially having a Melbourne Derby up in Queensland and not necessarily being able to have a lot of those Melbourne fans there?
Well, we were planning to have no fans at all. So, I mean, apparently there are going to be some people there. I'm not quite sure. So, I mean, that's a positive. But I guess playing Vixens round one is almost comforting because both us and Vixens haven't been able to have practice matches. And obviously we've been in quarantine. We've had a longer lockdown in Melbourne. Like, we're coming from the same kind of preparation period. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter where we play because it's not going to be home for either of us.
Something that we kind of tossed up on the podcast during the week was with teams sharing facilities, whether there would be a possibility for players who don't necessarily take the court during games to potentially play matches against the other teams during the weeks. Obviously, it's a little bit different now knowing that there's going to be midweek SSN games, but what do you kind of think of that idea?
To be honest, that's the first I've heard of it. So I'm not sure. I guess every team has a different number of players that they've brought with them as well, and whether that they can have the numbers to run that, I don't know. Obviously, if you were one of the people that weren't getting court time or and you wanted to run out, that'd be a great opportunity to do that, especially because there's no ANL this year as well. But I haven't heard any talk of that.
Beautiful. Well, Molly, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for your time. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you take the court. I'm sure you're filled with excitement.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
So a great insight there from Molly Jovic on Hub Life up in Queensland for the Magpies, and what it's like for her to be a fully contracted player for the 2020 Suncorp Super Netball season. Once again, a massive thank you to Molly for joining the Centre Pass podcast and having a chat to Taylor and Sophie. Just before we move on from the Magpies, just want to make a few quick points.
The thing that I really am excited about for this season with the Magpies is the shooting circle. I think since we've seen Shimona Nelson in the Suncorp Super Netball competition, she's just improved every single year. And I think she had a really good year last year. And I think this year she really needs to take that to the next level and really be the dominant shooter for the Magpies. Obviously, Gabby Sinclair has had that little bit of experience on the Super Netball court, but hasn't had an extended run, obviously being the backup to Nat Medhurst. So it'll be good to see her as the starting goal attack for the Magpies. But I think Shimona Nelson's really got to have a big year and really have a big impact if the Magpies are going to be any chance of playing finals. Next up is the Melbourne Vixens, the Magpies' crosstown rivals. And the Vixens won 8 games in 2019 and drew 1. A really impressive season. I think we probably all expected them to be up the top of the ladder and probably playing off in the grand final. So maybe disappointing in that sense. I think the only real change to this side from the last season is Kate Eddy in for Renee Ingles. I think that's a great replacement if you're going to get anyone to get Kate Eddy in. You look at this Vixens side and they're going to be really challenging for top spot again this season.
I'm backing the Vixens here. I think that they have just class right across the court. The two-point shot will play into their hands with both Thwaites and Phillips under the post. Like, the two of them can literally shoot with their eyes closed and the goal will go in. So I think those two will really benefit from that. I can't remember, is Maiwi Kamwenda coming back this season as well?
She is
back. Yep. So they've got her under the post as well. There's just options galore for the Vixens. And we already know that they're a really clever team. They treasure the ball within. And also defensively, the inclusion of Kate Eddy is great. Either wing defence or in the circle defence, the Vixens just have a complete lineup. And for me personally, I think it'll be a shame if they don't make the grand final this year because it's theirs to lose, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think what the Vixens have done this year with getting Kate Eddy, I don't think it would have necessarily been on their radar. Obviously, they know that Kate Eddy had a really solid year last year before getting injured. But what getting Kate Eddy has actually helped the Vixens with is getting a little bit more versatility in there. And that's something the Vixens have really, really lacked over the past few years. And I think it will switch up a lot down the court. It will give the Vixens a little bit more room to move. Means that if Mannix or Weston is not quite on game, they have now Eddy and Dehaney who can be put into the circle, and we know that they can do the job. So I agree with you, Taylor. I think this is the Vixens' time to shine. And if they don't make finals this season, it'll be really disappointing because you look at this lineup and they've got so many stars. Yeah, I'm really excited for this season.
Yeah, it's going to be a big year for the Vixens. And I think, as we've all said, they're going to be they're almost a lock for the finals, barring a complete catastrophe. So exciting times if you're a Vixens fan. Coming in runners-up in 2019, the Sunshine Coast Lightning. Obviously, no changes on the court, but the biggest change for them has been off-court. And obviously, Nolan Tarua leaving the Lightning after last season. An incredible reign as head coach, 2 premierships and another grand final in 2019. We are really going to see what her influence was on this Lightning side because, as I said, no changes on the court, a really settled lineup. But you can never count this Lightning team out, and I think they'll be right up there again this season.
Something I do want to bring to the forefront with the Lightning, though, is they've got a very... I don't want to say old team, but they're a little bit more aged. They've got a lot of veterans. You look at Pretorius, Proskovia, obviously...
Langman.
Sherrian.
Mawaney.
Langman, Mawaney. That's 5 players who are over 30. They've got quite an aged team when it comes to that, and that's what I kind of worry about most with the Lightning. They have such a good team, but it's like I brought up in the other podcast the other day, with so many games in such a short time, I think it's 6 rounds of matches in 20-something days, all in August, there are those aging bodies and those quick feet, and there's those things that will go downhill with so many high-performance games in such a short amount of time. And I think that is what could be the Sunshine Coast Lightning's issue this season.
Yeah, I back you on that, Soph. I think recovery for them is their main focus because clearly for Langman, I'm not too concerned about because I imagine her running marathons just for the fun of it. And look at her on court, and she's got just the endurance of an absolute ridiculous person. So for her, I'm not too concerned about, if that makes sense. because I think her endurance is quite high. But recovery is a really important thing, and especially with that many players over the age of 30, while it's not old in any means, it does mean you have to take a more cautious approach to games. So I think the Lightning will still be up there this year, and I think that they definitely have the caliber and class to cause trouble and to make the finals, but whether they will go into the grand final is another thing.
Yeah, I think they're going to be one of those top teams. I think they're going to play finals, but and I think, Sophie, you talk about the age of this team and what, five players over 30 or whatever it is, but none of the players actually look like slowing down. I think you look at Langman and she's still absolutely at the top of her game. Carla Pretorius is one of, if not the best player in the world at the moment, in my opinion. So I think, obviously, as you make a good point in that, recovery is going to be a big thing, and managing these players throughout this condensed fixture is going to be key for the Lightning's success. But talent-wise, they're as good as anybody, and I think they're going to be really close to the top again this season, and it's going to be a great year for them. Finally, the premiers for 2019, probably a surprising one for everyone. None of us expected it at the start of last year. The New South Wales Swifts going into 2020, and you kind of don't really see them slowing down. They've shown no signs of it. Obviously, a very settled lineup for the Swifts from 2019. They'll get Maddie Proud back from that knee injury, hopefully, this season. And I think it's going to be another good season for the Swifts. They should improve once again, and they're going to be, I think, the ones to beat in 2020.
For me, the main difference is the fact that they don't have the experience of Katrina Rore. Clearly, she was a late inclusion into the side, replacing Kate Eddy towards the end of the season. But it was her influence in tight games and her ability to really nullify the wing attack and then also float into that circle defence position that kind of gave them the upper hand at times. So in no means am I saying that I don't think the Swifts will be strong this season. I just think that they definitely have something else to think about because they don't have that rotational player like they did last season. Whether it was Kate Eddy or Katrina Rore, they now have more of a solidified, okay, you're a wing defence in Sophie Craig. And while she can play wing defence centre and wing attack, she can't float back into that circle defence. And so for me, they kind of lose that little extra bit of versatility. I know that they've got clearly other bench players that are young ones that can come up and really stand up in the defensive circle. But for me, the major difference is the fact that they don't have that extra little bit of experience. But in terms of attack, they've got clearly Paige Hadley and Maddie Brown. Maddie Proud. Maddie Brown has not gone to them, don't worry. They've got Maddie Proud as well. So that's clearly a great inclusion. And then you've got Helen Housby and Sam Wallace, who just put on a show towards the end of last season with their connections. So I think that they'll be up there again this year. But yeah, it'll be just interesting to see how they cope without that versatility in the defensive end.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really intrigued about this season with the Swifts because they need to back it up. They don't want to be that team that dominated one season, came out as grand finalists, winning the entire thing, and then being lower down the next season. I mean, it's kind of what we saw with the Fever last year. 2018, they had an amazing year, and then because all of their connections were found out, they couldn't compete last season. And I think, like you said, Taylor, that lack of, or not lack of versatility, but that lower amount of versatility, I think, could potentially come back to bite them. I'm really hoping not, because I really like the Swifts, and I think they've been really clever over the past few years, really forging those connections rather than looking out for those star players. They've got a star team. It's just about whether they can make use of it the way they did last season.
Yeah, and Bryony Akle's done an amazing job with this side to get them to the position they're in, and hopefully some more success for them in 2020. Just finally, before we do wrap up, we're just going to do some quick predictions. We're going to go through a top four, what the grand final matchup will be, we think, the premiers, player of the year, and I guess a player to watch, a young gun, just someone to keep an eye on for 2020. I'll go first with my top four for 2020. I think I've really been tossing up between the Vixens and Swifts. I think they will be first and second. I just don't know what order. If I'm going to have to predict it right now, I'm going to say the Vixens first and the Swifts second. Next up, I'm going to say the Giants. I think I said it earlier. I think they're a pretty big force this season, and I think they can really challenge. And in fourth place, I think it'll be the Lightning. I think they will drop a little bit, but I still think they're going to be in contention. And there's every chance that they could come from fourth and win the premiership. It's going to be that close. Taylor, I might go to you next. What do you think of the top four?
We have the same top four, just in a different order. So I've got Vixens in first, Swifts in second, Lightning in third, and then Giants in fourth.
Sophie, what about yourself?
Okay. Well, that's an interesting one. I've gone the same four again, but a completely different order. I've gone number one Lightning, number two Swifts, number three Vixens, but Vixens winning the premiership, and number four Giants. So I just think the Lightning are still just too strong to be knocked off that perch. I don't think they'll win the premiership based on how the season is kind of looking to play out at this point. But, yeah, I think Lightning and Swifts are going to be up there again. I think it's more so the Vixens and Swifts that will be interchangeable for me. But, yeah, I really like that all three of us have different points of view there.
Yeah, definitely. You said, Sophie, you said the Vixens you think will win the premiership. Who do you think they're facing up against in the grand final?
I reckon it'll be between Swifts and Lightning. I'd probably go Swifts, I think. I think that's who I want to see in the grand final.
Yeah.
I'm going to second that because I reckon it's going to be a Vixens v Swifts grand final. Reignite that rivalry and from a biased point of view, clearly I would prefer a Victorian team to win. So for me, I'm going Vixens this year as well. Jared, what are you thinking?
I think it's any one of the four teams that plays finals, I think that we've all predicted are going to play finals, can win. And I think it's going to be who's going to be the best on the day. It's hard to go against the Swifts Vixens final because I think those are the two strongest teams going into the season. I was going to be a bit contrary and go a bit different.
Come on, Jared, you can do it. I'm going to be
a bit different, but I'm going to stick with the Swifts and Vixens in the grand final. But I will say the Swifts will claim a second consecutive premiership.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to outcast you from our Victorian party.
Well, we're going to see. We'll see who comes out on top at the end of the season and who is correct. Player of the season for 2020. Now, Jeneile Fowler has won this award for the last 2 years, and obviously she's been the dominant player in the competition. Can she make it three in a row, or do you guys think there'll be someone else taking the crown this year?
I think it'll be between a few players and based on who wins the grand final. I think that if Lightning win the grand final, Pretorius for sure, because she is that real game saver. But otherwise, I'd say someone like Paige Hadley had a really, really great season last year. I can see her backing that up. I can see Lizzie Watson being up there if the Vixens win. It's that kind of thing where I'm like, that key player from each team, whichever team wins the grand final, it's going to be down to that player, and that's who I think will win the award.
Okay, but I'm going to need one name.
Damn it, I was hoping I could fence it. I'm going to go with Lizzie Watson just because it's the Vixens. I can't not go Vixens.
Taylor, what do you think?
I'm thinking Laura Langman. I don't think you can go past her efforts. She's just a constant threat and she's just so dominant and integral for the Lightning. We've seen her stand up time and time again. So for me, that's my choice. Jared, who are you thinking?
I think Sophie mentioned the name. I think Carla Pretorius. I think it's about time a defender gets a bit of recognition. I think...
Couldn't agree more.
I think she's done a great job and she's been that linchpin for the Lightning. She's been that linchpin for the Lightning across the last 3 years, and I think she'll continue that this year, and I think I hope she wins it. Finally, just I don't want to call it a rising star, but I think just a young player to watch or someone you think will burst onto the scene in 2020. Taylor, we'll start with you.
I got my two, I've got two. I'm very Queensland biased when it comes to this. I'm going Kara Konnan as well as Kim Jenner. I don't know if I can have two, but I'm going to claim that I can, because I just think the two of them, while they're in clearly two different teams, they have just developed so much last season. And I think you can see how much of an influence they have for their respective teams. Clearly, Konnan became a real force to be reckoned with for the Lightning, and Jenner has that innate ability to just win ball quite easily. So I think if Jenner can, for example, tidy up her game a bit more, she's going to have a fantastic season. And for the Lightning, I think if Konnan can increase her volume and continue to take her game to the next level, she'll just continue to blossom.
Sophie, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Kira Austin. I think this is her chance to really cement her position on a team. She's been touted as such a quality young talent for a few years now. And you look at how she was actually part of the Australian side this year in the bushfire match after Ash Braz went down. So you look at those players and she's someone who's clearly already been spotted as a real potential in the future for Australia, and this is her season to prove it. So I think Kira Austin is right up there.
Yeah, I think the stage is pretty much set for her, obviously, with that Kim Green retirement. My pick, I wish I could pick Amy Parmenter again, because I'm massive on the Palmy Army, and I think she's a great player after winning it last year. My pick, though, I'm going to come back to the Magpies. I'm going to say Gabby Sinclair. I think if they're going to have any chance of playing finals, I think she's probably, I don't want to put a lot of pressure on her, but I think she's a player that really needs to step up, put up a high volume of shots, maybe even take advantage of the super shot rule coming in. And I think she's one that can really star, and I think she's set for a big season. And yeah, hopefully that all plays out well for her in 2020. And that is all we have time for on the Centre Pass podcast for the 2020 Suncorp Super Netball season preview. As always, do go follow us on Twitter at Centre Pass Pod, and do go to netball.draftcentral.com for all your Suncorp Super Netball and World Netball news and reviews. We'll be back to our normal schedule next week, so we'll post on Tuesday. And we'll be back to weekly reviews of the Suncorp Super Netball competition as well as the ANZ Premiership until that concludes in a couple of weeks. But that is all we have time for, and we'll speak to you next week.